Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning. Rise and shine. You're on with the Due Time with Pastor Steph. How are you this morning? That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you yesterday? Yesterday was Wow Wednesday. And our girl Vivian started us off with her socially conscious segment. And when I tell you she was loaded yesterday, she was loaded. She started off talking about, you know, that six-year-old teacher shooting. Remember last year, out in Virginia? Yeah, they're back in the news again. Well, they are holding more than the mama accountable. Yeah. The assistant principal is now facing 8 felony counts and could possibly do 5 years each on every count. Yes. Yes, yes. They said that, you know what, she did not take heed to the warnings that there was something going on with this six-year-old, that he possibly had a gun that he took out of his pocket, out of his book bag, put in his pocket. Even the guidance counselor asked if he could search the little boy, and she never picked up her head but said no. Yeah, she wasn't interested. But now it's a very costly decision for her, because she's about to face the music. Well, she's not the only one facing the music as the Crumbleys. Yep, remember the little boy, the teenager who actually did the school shooting? Yeah, well, if you last remember, we had his parents in front of the judge, and he is now holding them accountable. They will do possibly up to 10 years in prison because they didn't pay attention to what was going on. They went to the school and they sat with the, you know, the officials at the school, but they didn't take them home and left him there, and he ended up shooting teachers and students. Man, I tell you, you know, I asked Vivian yesterday, what was this, accountability morning, everybody pushing the buck morning, because they seem to not really pay attention to what was going on. Yeah. So, unfortunately, that's how this is going to play out. Well, we got to talking, the ladies and I, and we started talking about the things people decide within minutes of meeting you. Yep. And one of the things was, within meeting you, the first minute they decide whether they can trust you or not, or whether they should trust you or not. Yeah. And we decided that overall, you know, you got to be able to assess whether you can trust the person or not, or they'll be ripping you off, you know, without you paying attention. But overall, true trust, something that you're going to put into a relationship. No. And I don't mean intimate relationship. I mean some deep down trust issues. You're going to be able to only see that on a long, you know, period of time. You know, you ain't going to be able to assess that within a couple seconds. No, not that. Not that kind of trust that you're going to have to really know a person. But sizing them up, you're going to have to do so. Like I said, because people are, you know, shifty and shady, and you're going to have to know whether they're going to be in your pocket or not. So do what you need to do and pay attention. Well, the other thing was, they said that you should be able to determine how smart a person is from the moment you meet them. Yeah, well, not always. You know, there's some basic, you know, understanding of who a person is. Well, listen, once a person opens their mouth and start talking, you can figure out how smart they are. Yeah, because if they're fast talking, if they're shifty, if they're putting some things out there, you could tell. You can tell pretty much how smart they are. But to really determine how smart a person is on a larger scale, you may have to wait more than a few minutes. But listen, you know, as we went down the line, you know, how I closed it out yesterday was, you know, let the discernment of the Lord dictate ultimately how you size people up. Because if you're looking through carnal eyes, if you're looking through, you know, and assessing through a carnal spirit, no, you're not going to be able to tell. You're not going to be able to tell at all. Even the basics. And, you know, in order for you to be able to do some things that's going to benefit you, in order to really assess what other people are about, you know, you're going to have to get that discernment of the Lord. And let's flip that around a little bit. Can people really size you up within the first couple of minutes? That is a question and a conversation to be had. You know, first impressions are lasting impressions, and I'd really like to know, how many times did you goof that one up? That's a good question. That's a good question.
Pastor Steph will be right back.
Listen, the enemy's trying to mess with me this morning because I'm talking about him. But I'm back. And I didn't lose anything. But listen, let that discernment get you, you know, let that discernment make you aware of everything that needs. Today is Wow. Wednesday? No. Today is Therapeutic Thursday, the day we talk about our health, whether it is our physical health, our spiritual health, our mental health, or our financial health, anything that has to do with your health, we're talking about it today. So we are, you know, we're on a different little tip this morning. We got a guest, and I'm so looking forward to chatting with them and, or him, I should say. And I think you're going to have a good old time. But in the interim, go get that healthy breakfast. Go tell somebody that it's your time with Pastor Steph is on, and whatever you do, don't go anywhere because we will be right back.
Nearly every hour of every day, one person will lose their life to oral cancer. This year alone, more than 34,000 Americans will be diagnosed. Only half will still be alive in 5 years. Oral cancer is more common than leukemia and kills more people each year than cervical or skin cancer. Tragically, many victims don't even know they're in danger. Though tobacco and alcohol increase risk, 25% of those diagnosed have no risk factors. Scientists are learning more about this disease and developing new ways to treat it. But what can you do now to stop the silent killer? Early detection. A quick, painless oral cancer screening takes less than 5 minutes and can save your life. For more information, contact your dentist or visit DeltaDentalNJ.com today.
Good morning and good morning again. Welcome back to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. And it is Therapeutic Thursday. Today we talk about our health. And we got a special morning, and I'm so looking forward to it. I don't know about the rest of you, but I am definitely looking forward to it. And I'm going to start off with our health tips. You know how we do on Thursday morning. We got a lot of recalls. We have a lot of recalls this morning. Well, for those of you who like your Powerade, get ready, because Coca-Cola is recalling some of their Powerade drinks. Yeah. Now, it's a mixture, and it's their Powerade Zero Mixed Berry, their Powerade Zero Fruit Punch, their Powerade Mountain Berry Blast. And they say that those drinks may have some foreign metal objects in them, like a stainless steel ring. You know, I don't know about the rest of you. I'm trying to figure out how in the world are we getting all of these items in our beverages and food. I'm not figuring this out. You know, somebody is definitely sleeping at the wheel, because this kind of stuff, they need to be held accountable. I say, you know what, I don't care if it's something that happened by mistake. I say somebody needs to be fined. I don't know about the rest of y'all, but I think, you know, they need to be fined so that they can make sure that the consumers are not getting these bad things in their food, drinks, and all kinds of nonsense. This stuff doesn't make any sense. So, drinks. Now, here's the thing. They say that they are packages. The batches are the pack, like, let's say a 6-pack, a 9-pack, a 12-pack, something like that. But here's the problem. They say some merchants have taken the packages and sold them individually. Now, if you ever notice, you see some packages are labeled, like, not to be sold individually. So that just lets you know why. That's one of the reasons why they don't I'm so sorry. I'm getting that I'm going in and out, and I can't have this. What is going on this morning? But you know what? We're going to push forward. Now, any other day, I don't have this problem. But I got this calm this morning, but we're going to be all right. God's going to make sure we're all right this morning. But getting back to what I was saying, you know, when we are buying things and they tell us, oh, thank you. Oh, I'm getting some feedback from my listeners that I sound okay. Wonderful. 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 Thank you so much for your feedback. what am I talking about here? Okay, Powerade, the Powerade drinks, and other things we buy, and it's sold in a batch, and they break the batches up. Well, see, this makes it hard to track if the products are going out and they can't group them together, because they're supposed to return those things to the, you know, to the manufacturers or whoever they get it from. But if you've now sold them broken up, now you who gets this stuff? We don't know, because we don't see lot numbers and all kinds of things on individual packages. So that's one of the downsides to actually purchasing merchandise like that. So what else? Oh, okay. All-purpose flour. I tell you, they gonna kill us. If you don't have the Lord to pray over, and you pray over your food, you don't know what's gonna happen. Okay, so Shawnee Best all-purpose flour, there is a recall on that because they have not listed on the labels milk or egg content, and for those of us who have allergies, we need that label on there. So they say that they are recalling the 5-pound bags of flour. They have a best if used by 3/7/25. So if you buy this brand of flour, make sure that you look for that particular used by date 3/7/25. Return it to get your money back. Oh, we got a couple of other recalls. Let's see. Ice cream. Ice cream. Well, the FDA is calling back Belgian Yummies ice cream. Belgian Yummies ice cream. Now, here's the problem with this. It's several of their products. You've got their Belgian Yummies sandwiches, their Belgian Yummies gelato, strawberry flavor, their birthday cake flavor, the vanilla flavor. Listen, if you've got this in your possession, just take it back. Don't even worry about what date it is. Just take the whole thing back. Or if you prefer, throw it in the garbage so that you can, you know, make sure that you're safe. But remember, that is the Yummies. Yummies, Yummies, Yummies. Now, they're having a callback. Same thing. They say that it has wheat, soy, egg, and coconut, as well as peanuts in the product. And the label does not. The labels do not have it on there. Now, check this out. They said that they've mistakenly used an old label. Oh, wow. Wow. Pray over your food, for real. They're saying that mistakenly they labeled the product with some outdated labels that did not have the proper content on it. So in other words, the same thing. It has those particular items in it, and it's not on your label. So they also have a Belgian Yummies issue. They have two issues with this ice cream. They say that some ice cream has gone out, and it could contain salmonella. Oh, I tell you, pay attention to your food. Pay attention to your food. Again, if you have these products, as they always say, take it back to the store. You can get your money back. That way, you don't run the risk of being ill. And I do believe we even have one other recall. Let's see. Band-Aids. Oh, goodness gracious. Your Band-Aids. They have Johnson & Johnson Band-Aids. Now, this doesn't surprise me, honestly. Why? Because remember, Johnson & Johnson is the one who they snagged big time for their cancer-causing powder. All kinds of, they have several products that they had to remove off the market. Well, they say that study is finding that their Band-Aids contain a cancer-causing chemical. And they say 40 bandages from 18 different bandages that they actually did the study on, that it contains a product called, I'm trying to get this, they call it a forever chemical. PFAS, forever chemicals. And that's in their Band-Aids. Woo! Okay, so not only is it in their Band-Aids, but they say the ones that are CVS Health branded, Equate branded. Now, isn't Equate, is that Walmart? I think Walmart carries Equate. Somebody let me know if I'm right. Rite Aid, Amazon, Solimo, Target brand, and Curate. Yes, all of these brands. Yep, somebody's confirmed it for me. Walmart. It's a Walmart brand. Thank you so much. My loyal listeners always come through. So if you have these brands of Band-Aids, now I'm going to be honest with you. What else do you use? What else do you use? If Johnson & Johnson's Band-Aids are sitting out there and all these others, well, I guess there are other brands of Band-Aids that we can use that do not contain these cancer-causing chemicals. Do your homework. Do your research. So this morning we're talking about recalls from Coca-Cola's Powerade. We've got recalls from Shawnee Best All-Purpose Flour. We've got recalls on ice cream. That's the Belgian Yummy brand. We've got recalls on Band-Aids. Woo! You know what? The more and more we live, the more we know. We really need to give the Lord our life, because you can't trust man. You cannot trust man at all. Oh, this is some scary stuff. This is some scary stuff. You know, I give God thanks. Shanti and I were talking yesterday, and I give God thanks because he has really used this broadcast to just really, like, set an alarm for the things we use. We get a lot of recall notifications. And I want to thank all of my loyal listeners who send me your, you know, articles and things when you find them. Thank you so much, because I don't always come across them myself. And, you know, the health tips that we get every Monday and Thursday morning, and they have really, really come to be some wonderful, wonderful aids. And, you know, giving God thanks, because this is free. This is free. This is free. You know, the Bible tells us that my people perish from lack of knowledge. And this is something that we need to definitely write down. When I'm giving these things, you know, write them down. Write them down. Take your notes. Take notes. Don't take for granted that, you know, you're going to remember this stuff, because you may not. Because you may not remember these things. And, you know, if you need to go back, then go back and listen. What is it going to cost you to go back and listen? What are you doing that's more important than listening to the health tips? You know, I got to tell you really quickly a story when I finish, and I'm going to, you know, let you know why we need to pay attention, you know, to the things that we're getting from God for free, because this is something that God wants us to have. We don't pay for this. You know, you pay your cell phone bill, or you pay your internet bill, or however you're connecting with its due time, you're paying for that. But, you know, you're not paying for the information. Right? Right. So, you know, let's give God thanks. Let's give God thanks for all that he does for us on a regular basis, all the time. Really just understand how much he loves us. How much God loves us, that we can be entertained, we can be informed, we can be, you know, we can laugh, and, you know, it's amazing. God is amazing. Just through little things, he really shows himself. Okay, I'm getting again. Boy, the enemy is just a mess this morning. Not going to. Take those chances anymore. Gonna get rid of those right now. So, today is Therapeutic Thursday, as you know. And from time to time, we are blessed with such wonderful guests. And I have to tell you, for those who complain about Facebook and, you know, social media, listen, let God be God in your life, because I have to tell you, from the time I've started, you know, being on this broadcast back in 2016, that's my source of getting our guests. And I have not in the, how many years has it been since 2016? I have not had a guest that has disappointed us. And I don't know them. I've never met them personally. But again, God is coming through, because I was on Facebook and I reached out a gentleman who is an author. And we got to talking after he so graciously responded to my reach out. And it's such a wonderful person. I can just tell a wonderful person. And yesterday, I got, again, an opportunity to speak to Pastor Mark Thorsby. Now, I really hope I pronounced this name correctly. He's going to have to let me know if I didn't. But this is a delight today. I promise you, this is a delight. And let me not hold you up any longer from hearing from who I so lovingly call Pastor Mark. I didn't even know Pastor Mark was a pastor. No, I just thought he was, you know, just an author who was going to potentially bless us. And he ended up saying he was a pastor. And I was like, wow, I can tell why he just comes across just so wonderful. Good morning, Pastor Mark.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you today? Thank you for having me.
Oh, I am wonderful. Thank you, thank you, thank you for asking. What'd you say?
It's an honor to be with you. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much, Pastor Mark. Now, I apologize. Did I pronounce your last name properly?
You did it very, very well. Yes.
You
pronounced my name excellently. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Why don't you tell us who Pastor Mark Thorsby is?
Sure, I'll be happy to tell you. But before I do that, I heard your health portion of the show, and I heard about how Coca-Cola is recalling Powerade. And I thought to myself, how glad I am that Jesus Christ never recalls his Powerade. Amen? I'm so thankful that we have the Word and the Spirit that never gets recalled.
I love that. I love that. What a wonderful way to start, Pastor Mark. Wow. I like that. I like that. I like that.
Well, so I'll tell you who I am today. You know, my name is Pastor Mark Thorsby. I pastor up in Massachusetts, where we say Pach the Ka and Havad Yad. You know, that's how we talk up there. And, you know, I'm a husband. I have four kids. I'm a father. I am a pastor. I pastor Calvary Community Church in a little suburb right on the border of Massachusetts and Connecticut in Dudley, Mass. And I have a testimony, like many of us have, a testimony of God's grace and mercy, long-suffering and patience, kindness and redemption. And that's what I share in my life, in my pulpit, in my book called Forgiving the Nightmare. This is what I talk about, how God has redeemed and set me free. So who am I? I'm a regular Joe. You drive right past me. There's nothing fancy about me. But what I have is Jesus Christ and how he loves me and how he set me free. So I'm trying to love my neighbor more every day and love Jesus Christ with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength each day more and more.
Oh, wow.
God is good.
I like that introduction. I really like that introduction. You know, before we dive in to your book and just an overall picturesque as to what your book is about, before we get into any detail, I want to tell you, Pastor Mark, as well as our listeners, that this was a rare occasion for me last night as I went to look through the table of contents. A lot of times I don't have an opportunity to, you know, gloss past any of the book itself. And I just really rely on my conversation with you. And I have to tell you, I started reading the portion that's available to us on Amazon. And your book, Forgiving the Nightmare, I couldn't put it down. I was so mad when I got to the part that cuts us off, you know, when they give us a little taste of the book. And I was like, whoa, wait a minute, I've got to get this book. And I've almost never been able to do that. But this here is definitely, I am anticipating us getting some real, you know, a real treat this morning, talking to you and hearing from you what God has given you for us this morning. So just give us a very quick, because I don't want you to say too much, a quick overview of what Forgiving the Nightmare is all about.
I definitely will. Now, you asked the pastor to be quick. I believe in miracles, but come on, God is... you know, I'm playing this morning, of course. Hey, yeah, a real quick overview is, unfortunately, I grew up in trauma. I grew up in abuse. I grew up neglected. And I think so many of us share that story. We all have a nightmare. We all have a situation we grew up in. My nightmare was child abuse. From the ages of 7 to 14, I was abused by my mother's husband. He abused me in every way, shape, and form. He burnt my body, stabbed my body. He raped my body, sold me to others. And it was just obviously a very ugly and horrible time in my life. And how I felt in those years was just empty. I was angry. I was mad. I was sad, of course. But really, I felt numb and empty. Then I became a Christian. Somebody invited me to church. I said the sinner's prayer, and Christ filled my heart. But that was just the beginning. Just the beginning of my journey on healing and being set free. So the quick version is that I grew up with a trauma, and I went through a journey, and I'm still on it, right? Because Christ is still touching me and moving in me, and his word still guided me. I went on a journey of healing, and in that journey, I found forgiveness. See, I didn't start this journey off saying, God, I want to forgive the man who abused me. I mean, of course, I didn't have that kind of strength. But this journey started off with me saying, God, I want you. And because God is faithful, because God is patient and kind, he would lead me to forgiveness. But there was lots of mountaintops and valleys in that journey.
Cool. All right. That definitely gets us off to a good start, Pastor Mark. And, you know, when this book gets started, you know, there's the introduction. And the introduction had your mouth watering for more. I'm very serious. And, see, I've always been a bookworm. I haven't, you know, over the years, ever since, and here's the thing, ever since I was baptized back in 2001, I don't think I've read maybe 5-6 books because I just made it my business to, you know, if I read any books, it was definitely a book, you know, that was the Bible, first of all.
Amen.
But any
Amen.
Other book that I've read have been, you know, something that was, you know, God, definitely God inspired, and it had to have scripture references in it because it could not be completely detached from the Word of God. And when I started reading this story, it just the introduction itself, I was like, wow, okay, so I need to just go ahead. Because I was only going to read the introduction. And then I said, okay, no, I need to finish reading what's available. And it starts off with my story, the beginning of my nightmare. And the first thing you highlight is my mom. Now, again, we don't want to give away too much of this book, but I want to talk about this quote-unquote beginning of the nightmare because, you know, a lot of times people don't understand that your trauma starts right in the home. I always say, you can't even get out your house. These can't even get out their home good before. Everybody's worrying about, you know, the pedophile in the school and, you know, all these other people outside of the home. But you start with your mom. How do we get a brief synopsis of the beginning of my nightmare, my mom?
Well, as you said, the first line of my book is everybody's story starts with somebody else's story, and my story started with my mom. And unfortunately, my mom, by the time I was born, she was carrying so much hurt and pain, rejection, and abuse. She was abused in her own way by people, by an ex-husband who promised her the world but would leave her for another, by people who rejected her. So the time my dad came into the picture, who promised her everything, but she quickly found out he was married to another, and when I was conceived, he left. But my mom, again, another scarlet letter, another brokenness, another wound, another rejection, another fear. So she was looking for love in all the wrong places, as the old song says, and she kind of called enabling love. And she kind of just loved the broken, and not in a good way. She loved the broken because she thought she was broken. And she married this man who was broken. He was 7 years her younger, 20 years her younger. And he would come into our home, and she thought she could save him like a puppy dog. But really what he brought into the home was abuse. He brought in just a toxic behavior, abuse, and he abused many of us, but I was the target of the sexual and violent abuse, because that's what abusers do. They abuse with their mouth, they abuse with their life, they abuse with their actions, but I was the target of the sexual, violent abuse. And from those ages of 7 to 14, I was the target of that abuse. So, you know, I look back now, and I'm telling you this from the rearview mirror, from the Monday morning quarterback chair. Now, when I was going through it, I didn't see it so clearly. I didn't see it so completely. I just saw it through a brokenness. And, yes, those seasons where I was very angry at my mom, and I was very angry at the person, of course, who abused me, as anyone would. But I matured in Christ, and there's the anchor. There's the rock. You know, I couldn't sit here and talk to you today about forgiving a nightmare without saying it's through Jesus Christ and without saying that it's only God who changed me by becoming bigger than my pain, by becoming louder than my fear. And I don't say that lightly because I know how big the fear is. I know how big the pain is. I'm making light of abuse. I think abuse needs to be dealt with, and it needs to go into the court system, and people who do that need to be held to justice. So I'm not accepting it. I dislike it. I hate abuse in any way, shape, or form. But again, I'm able to look more clearly now at what my mom was carrying. Not saying it was okay what she allowed to happen, but at least help me understand why it happened.
Okay. Now, tell me something, Pastor Mark. You've got something called trail markers. Now, explain what that is in the book. Just don't go into any of the trail markers because we're going to go down that road.
Yes,
but
ma'am.
Just tell us, because you've kind of given a synopsis of the beginning of the book, which was an excellent, mouth-watering synopsis. But tell us what trail markers are in the book and why.
Sure. You know, I use the imagery, I use the language of trail markers because I like to hike. I like to be out in the woods, and I climbed some mountains a couple of years ago, climbed Mount Marcy, which is the highest mountain in New York, way up there in the Adirondacks, and there I was. And when you're climbing a mountain, you got to follow the trail. And sometimes on the trails, different trails come together. You got to follow that little marker on the trees, the red ones, the blue ones, the yellow ones. to get where you want to go. So I use the image of a trail marker to say, Lord, sometimes in life we can get distracted. We can get busy. Responsibilities come in and duties and that can just kind of take us off the trail, off the mark. You know, so I put these 10 things I call trail markers to say, you know, how am I staying on the path? Am I keeping my commitments? Am I inspecting my own heart, if you would? So the trail markers, excuse me, that I put there to help to say, Lord, is my life and my heart and my mind and my tongue and my will going where I want it to go? And I know it's all by mercy and grace, and I don't live a perfect life. Believe me, I do not live a perfect life. I live a forgiven life. But, you know, I say to the Lord, these trip markers kind of keep me on the path that I desire to be on. And I use the same imagery of hiking to follow the paths.
Okay. And I thought that's kind of what it was. And that's why I wanted you to explain it, because I'm looking at your trail markers and I'm like, wow, what a journey that you've mapped out for us. And I look at it as, you know, a roadmap. And I love this roadmap that I'm looking at. And the first trail marker is prayer. Why do you start with the first trail marker on prayer?
Well, prayer is so vitally important, isn't it? We get humbled in prayer. We get strengthened in prayer. You know, maybe just simply because I love to talk, so I love to talk to God. So, you know, and that's what prayer is for me. I've prayed those lofty prayers and I've prayed those simple prayers. And I pray just all the time. I think there's times where I'm in my prayer closet getting a hold of the altar of God and I'm praying in my heavenly languages. But then there's times where I'm just walking down the street saying, oh, Lord, I need you today. So I love the gift of prayer, especially because of what it does for me. Prayer connects me. Prayer reminds me. Prayer brings me into that relationship. When I'm in relationship with somebody, I want to talk to them. Ask my wife. She's like, okay, I don't want to talk right now. And I'm saying, let's talk, because that's how God is. I love talking. I love to hear people's story, and I love to talk to God because, you know, his sheep know his voice. The word tells us. So he speaks back to us, yeah, too. Amen. So.
Amen. Amen. I love it. I love it. You know, here's the other thing that I think about as a person who's come from a level of trauma. Prayer is, like you said, that communication that we ultimately long for. And as people who have gone through levels of trauma, one of the biggest things you can do to work on that trauma is to talk, is to get it out, talk about it. And the best part about this is when you talk to God, it's great to talk to other people. It's great to, you know, share and, you know, let someone else hear, you know, what you've gone through. But the best part about talking to God is there's always healing when you talk to God. It's different, you know, when you talk to other people, because, you know, they don't understand all the time. Or sometimes, you know, in their own way, they might be a little critical. The best part about what you said was when we talk to God, you get this ear that hears everything. You don't have to worry about if he's paying attention, Pastor Mark. You don't have to worry about, you know, if he's going to take it all in. You don't have to worry about him having his phone ring. You know, it's just a whole different result when you speak and communicate to God. So actually to see prayer as the first trail marker was exciting to me, because, you know, you're sending a message that talking to God is definitely going to be
the beginning of your healing process. And considering that God says, I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, it's a wonderful place to start. So I love it. So
amen.
The
amen.
Bible is the next trail marker. Why the Bible? Why from prayer to the Bible?
Well, you know, I think those are the two great pillars of the church, of the Christian, is first of all, a prayer life, and then the Word of God, right? John 1:1, and the Word became flesh. So, you know, the Word of God is living, and it tells us of who He is. It tells us His nature. It tells us His character. It tells us that God, what God did yesterday, He can still do today. It tells us how to build our faith. It tells us what God requires and what he allowed. And it's this beautiful living book that still has power today in 2024 as it did thousands and thousands of years ago, as it was written by the church fathers, as the matriarch and the patriarchs. And so it's just a beautiful, beautiful book that still speaks to us, because why? It's Spirit-led. It is breathed by the Holy Spirit from Genesis to Revelation. So God's holy word that speaks to us today. And I think these are the pillars that hold up a believer, that holds up a church, that holds up a ministry, is to kind of build your life on Jesus Christ. And to do that, we must be in prayer with Him, and we must be in His Word. And I think those are the two great things that we stand on. So the word reflects God's nature. The Word speaks to my heart. I get rebuked by the Word. I get strengthened by the Word. I get hopeful in the Word. And the Word is just a blessing, God's holy Word that fills me. To know God's Word is just to be blessed and to be filled with the wisdom and the grace of Jesus Christ.
Okay. I'm loving where we are right now. Pastor Mark, you know, there's a thought that's in this world that there's no reason to pick up the Bible. There's a thought that man wrote the Bible, and it's not going to address everything I've been through. You know, it might address what you've been through. But let's talk real quickly about how this Bible, this Word of God, this living Word of God, addresses the trauma that you experience. And no matter what the trauma is, the Bible speaks about the trauma. It helps you get through this trauma. How do you tell a person that I've been through this level of trauma, but yet the Bible is what helped me on this journey?
Well, I guess there's two ways I tell people. First, I say, hey, look at me. You know, I'm not perfect. I'm not special. I have my struggles. I have my doubts. But, you know, I have a joy, and a joy unspeakable. And it's not because I have power or wealth. It's because I have Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And God has done such a work in me. I hope that my life is a testimony of that. And then people go, well, where do you know the Lord? Well, the Word is inspired. Truth sets us free. So, yes, there's every lesson to be learned in the Word of God, and it's still valuable because it doesn't just tell a story. It tells our story as humans. It tells our story as people. It tells our story as our hearts and our will and our minds and our spirit reaches out. You know, that's a truth that doesn't matter culture or economics or it doesn't matter, because the human condition is the human condition, and God speaks to that human condition, calling us to be more loving to one another, more compassionate, more understanding. And in that, God shows us that even though there have been trials, even though there's been tests, even though there's been enemies, even though there's been wrong done to all of us, have a nightmare, the Lord gives us the patience, the strength, and the wisdom to get through that. And where do you learn that? You learn that in the Bible. So, you know, I believe the Bible is still relevant today as the day it was first penned by the Holy Spirit. Yes, God used these clay vessels called people. And God used these men and these women, and He used us, in our inabilities to do something so more than we could ever imagine. And even though a man put a pen to a paper, it was led and it was breathed by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit has given us the Word of God from the Old Testament to the New Testament. It is the living Word that still is a light into the world today.
Amen, amen. You know, I love, one of the things that I love about the Bible is there is nothing that you will ever experience in your life that that Bible does not address. And to me, that's all I need to know that it's God-inspired. What book in this world can address anything you're feeling, anything you're thinking, anything you've ever been through, prepares you for what you're going to go through, what you may go through? It is just like all-encompassing. And, you know, that there is such a blessing to us. And as I see you describe, you know, how it's benefited and blessed your life, you know, I just encourage so many people and everybody to just try it. You know, stop talking about who wrote it. You know, try it. Try it. You can't go wrong.
Amen.
You can't go
Amen.
Wrong.
Amen.
I can't.
You're right. Amen.
We have Trollmarker 3, which is faith, and then we have Trollmarker 4, love. Now, you already kind of touched on the faith part, and I want to move to love because you talked about mom. And mom, you know, you said use, you know, the word love, but yet it wasn't love. And it was, you know, a difference. Something completely different, and that's a very typical thing that we do as people. You know, we take this love thing, and it has 9 million meanings. And why is love Trollmarker 4 for Pastor Mark, who's gone through this level of child abuse? How is love included in this book? As Trollmarker 4 for Pastor Mark, who's been sexually abused, physically abused,
sure.
mentally abused, how is that included in this?
Sure.
Talking about forgiveness. How do you forgive like this?
Well, you know, the reason why I bring up love there is because I didn't love myself for a long time. Well, again, my abuser stole that love from me. He made me hate myself. He made me loathe myself. He filled me with insecurities and fears and lies. So, you know, love, I didn't love myself. You know, and I always remember that great conversation Jesus had to remind the rich young ruler, you know, of the greatest commands. What are the greatest commands? Love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Well, you know, because I didn't love myself, I didn't know how to love my neighbor. Because I loathed myself, because this is one of the casualties, one of the lies that, remember, when my abuser came into my room at 7 years old, as he crossed the threshold and I heard the crackle of that door, as he came and his weight fell on my body and his breath fell on my face, and as he lied to me and he stole my innocence, he would say to me, "It's your fault. No one will ever believe you. People will reject you. People will say you're a liar. No one will ever care about you. You're ugly. You're fat. You're dumb. You're stupid." And those lies just filled and stole the love I had for myself. So how did I get love back? How did I love myself? Well, I love myself by loving Jesus. And as I learned to love Jesus and know that Jesus did not make junk, and as I love Jesus more, as I died to self and love God with all my heart, and I'm still working on it every day, but as I love God more, I started to love myself not out of some kind of arrogant or some kind of narcissistic way, but I love God because he loved me. And by loving God because he loved me, I started to love myself. So therefore, I wanted to love my neighbor So we wrote the book, we're telling the story, because I want to see people that have been trapped in the same lie of rejection, pain from their nightmare. Again, mine was abuse, but there's so many nightmares of addictions and loss and hurts, and they get trapped in their nightmares to say, if God can deliver me with his love, word, prayer, grace, and mercy, he can deliver anyone out of this miry clay. Amen.
And amen. Ooh, amen. I honestly didn't know you were going to the love myself direction. And I didn't know you were going to go there. And as you were talking, I started to fall in love with God even more. Just listening to you describe, oh, what kind of God do we serve that we can actually listen to someone else describe love and God and fall in love with God more? Amen. Oh, my goodness gracious. Wow. Wow. Okay. Okay. God is amazing. God is amazing.
Amen, sister. Amen, sister.
God is amazing. God is amazing, Pastor Mark. And 12 Mark of 5, trust. Now, we talked yesterday briefly on the broadcast about trusting people and how quickly, you trust people and how long it takes to actually trust people. Where does trust factor in this journey as we're at Trail Marker 5?
Sure. You know, one of the first casualties, but not the only casualty, again, the first casualty, but there are many, many, many casualties when it comes to abuse and neglect and just tragedy in one's life. And the first thing that happened to me is I didn't trust anybody. It was the first thing I lost and the last thing I got back. It was like I wasn't going to trust anybody, any organization. I wasn't going to trust a church, a preacher. I wasn't going to trust, because when I trusted somebody when I was young, they came in, betrayed, and stole and took everything from me. So you know what? I wasn't going to trust ever again, because I knew that if I opened myself up, I could be wounded, lied to, and hurt. So I kind of got this opinion. I kind of got this attitude. I kind of got this thought saying, hey, you know what? I might trust the dog, but I'm not going to trust you. And that's how I lived my life as a young man. And then Christ came to me, and I became a Christian, and I received him, and I started on this journey of trust, saying, God, if you're real, I'm thankful for my church family, and I'm thankful for my tradition and the church that I was raised in. But, you know, I wasn't going to trust the sign on the door. I wasn't going to trust the man in the pulpit, but I was going to trust Jesus Christ. And it was a slow but honest journey where I opened the Word of God. Now, here it is. I'm a dyslexic, because that's one of the other casualties of growing up was my education. So I don't know how to read well, but I'm reading what I can, and I'm just saying, Lord, I'm praying hard and saying, Lord, if you are, if you can, if you say that. And in that beginning, God started to say, Mark, trust me. And, oh, God, don't ask me, it's too hard. Trust me. And he was faithful in little things. And those little things became bigger and bigger and bigger until I started to trust God with all my heart. And, you know, when you put God first, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added. As you start seeking God first with all your heart, he adds other things. And I'm so glad he taught me trust, because he brought me a wife, and I trust her with all that I am. He brought me 4 kids, and I trust them. And now I'm a pastor, and I had to go through college and trust teachers and professors. I didn't always like it, but I had to learn to do it, because God helped me trust him when I couldn't trust anyone.
Amen. Oh, my goodness.
You know, as the Word of God tells us, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. So, amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Oof. You're actually, even as you speak, Pastor Mark, your words are coming across so, as gentle as you're speaking, is coming across so powerful. And it's very soothing. It's very soothing. And I give God thanks for us having you on this morning. You talked about trust, and now you talk about friends. Now that's a big thing, because you know I read about, you know, in the beginning of your book, I read about the bullying, and
yeah.
you know what, yeah. this is a huge that's going on out here now with these children, and even you know the friends are bullies, and you know it's very hard to determine. You know, when you're a kid, you want to call everybody your friend. And sometimes you'll see, you know, kids call the bullies their friend in a sense. And you're like, okay, wait a minute. Let me help you understand the difference here. How does friends come behind trust in Trail Marker, in your Trail Marker journey?
Well, first of all, again, when you put God first, and you're trusting God, and in that trust, I was lonely. You know, I said, Lord, I don't know how to be a friend. I you know, there's so many things that when abuse comes to you young, and it steals so much from you. So, you know, a lot of times I tell people, I wasn't raised. I survived my childhood. You know, I didn't learn how to read. I learned how to duck. So, you know, I survived my childhood, and in that, I didn't have friends. You know, I met people and probably used them because I didn't know how to be any other way. That's what was modeled in front of me, and how to just kind of use a friendship. So I didn't want to be like that anymore. I didn't want to take. I wanted to be, and I wanted to have real friends. So by trusting God, saying, God, you know what I need to learn. You know who I am. You know what, and this was when I was young. I mean, that's not today as an adult, but when I was young, the Lord started to bring people into my life, and I had to learn to trust that they were from God. And, you know, sometimes it was harder than other times, but when God brings people, now let me underline that and say, when God brings people, you know, when God brings people into your life, you know, people aren't perfect. And if we expect perfection, boy, we're going to be disappointed. But when God brings people into your life, it's for a season, it's for a reason. And I had to let people come into my life and read my mail, you know, and that's difficult, you know. But real friends, not people who got an agenda, not people that want to manipulate, people who want to take, but real friends will read your mail. That means they'll call you out when you need to be called out. They'll say, "Hey, bro, I got a Tic Tac and you need one right now." You know, real friends will let you know. Real friends will let you know, hey, you know, there's something hanging. You know what I mean, sister? A real friend will let you know that this, and that's okay. And you need people in your life that you can be accountable to, that aren't there to control or crush or take advantage of. Somebody that could say, hey, you know what? I see you going off a little off kilter a little bit. I'm hearing a little anger in your voice. I'm seeing you walk a little slower. You're not showing up on Sunday like you used to. Do we have friends in our life that can call us out? And again, not because they want anything. You know, you think about Jonathan and David. You know, you think about the great friendships in the Bible that people just were just friends that had this connection that didn't desire power or influence or finances, but somebody says, I care about you, I'm in your life, and when you start going a little up and down or wonky, as we say, then I'm gonna love you enough to, you know, buy you a whole cup of coffee and say, hey, how can I be here for you? Because I know, I see as your friend, there's something going on. And boy, and when people come in your life like that, and they're far and a few, I'll be honest with you, they're far and a few, but when you have somebody like that, it is a blessing. So I desired friendship, and I couldn't get that unless I trusted. And am I going to trust the person? Well, only because I trust God first. Amen.
Amen. I love this friend angle from a perspective of giving, being a friend. And that's, I tell you, you know Pastor Mark as well as I know, that ain't high on people's agenda. You know, it's more of what I can get from you more than what you can give. And people don't mind taking. You know, friends, this friendship thing, as long as you're smiling with me, as long as you're laughing with me, as long as, you know, we can goof off on someone else, you know, we're good. We're the best of friends. But the moment you need to start talking correction and guidance and rerouting, like you said, you know, here's a Tic Tac. You need one. I asked you, did you want a piece of gum? You said, no. No, I'm telling you, please take this gum. They don't want that. They don't want that type of friendship. You know, they don't want that. They don't want that correction. And a lot of it comes from, and let's talk about that for a quick minute. You know, a lot of that comes from abuse. A lot of that comes from, and you know what? It kind of goes into your next trail marker of freedom. Because I'm hearing, it's a wonderful segue. What you just talked about was a wonderful segue into freedom. Because in my mind, it's wonderful, and it is a level of freedom when I can get to the point of, you know, I've been traumatized. I've been through this abuse. I've been through so much. And now God sends me people who can offer me a relationship that renders freedom. I'm now free.
Amen.
I'm no longer,
Amen.
You know, held by the grips or in the vice of someone who does not mean me any good. Let's talk for a quick minute, Pastor Mark, about how people can now read trauma versus friendship, because that's what happens. They convert the correction that a friend gives to, they equate that with trauma. That, oh, they're still trying to tell me what to do. I don't want to go through, I don't want to hear that. I don't want anybody telling me because I've got freedom. Let's talk about whether that's real freedom or not.
Yeah, you're right, sister. You're putting it so eloquently and you're putting it so honestly that because of our traumas, when people get into our junk, even the best of friends who don't desire to control us, we go, who you think you're talking to? You know, you don't know where I've been. You don't know my story. You don't know what I've been through. You know, you're my friend, but don't think you're that close. And sometimes God puts those people in to correct us. You know, God puts us through the refining fire. The Word of God tells us a friend loveth at all times. And you know, yeah, when we've gone through the hurts of life, we got our walls up, we got our guard up, we got those trigger words that as soon as somebody even whispers it, man, it awakes in a storm within us, because it brings us back to a place where we were neglected, abused, lied to, rejected, fearful. But when God sets us free, we hear it through a different ear. We see it through a different lens. Right. We see it from a fresh perspective, you know, because of course I got my triggers. Of course I got my, I know the words that were spoken to me. I know what they sounded like. And boy, when I hear them again, man, the flesh wants to say, back off, Jack. But I'll tell you, you know, when we can put on the mind of Christ, put on that helmet of salvation, and we remind ourselves that, you know, if they're a friend, they're not there to take them from me. They're there because they love me. And like I said, they're far and few. But when God gives you those people, you know, it's a blessing. But, yeah, I think today you're right. We get in our corners and we say, hey, don't come any closer because I bite. You know, I believe what you're saying. Freedom is in Jesus. And that's where you find it, and that's where it lays, and that's where it is. And finding that freedom, it pours out in all parts of your life. It's not just on the Sunday morning or just not in the hymn or the choir. practice. It's every part of my life, because the one the Lord has set free is free indeed. Amen.
Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. I'm so enjoying this conversation. I wish we had like 2 hours completely. But the next, I'm so enjoying this conversation. The next trail marker is confidence. The next trail marker, number 9, is submission. And now we land at trail marker 10, forgiveness.
Yes.
Put a pin here. We've only got, like, we're coming down, and I think this is a wonderful place to land.
Amen.
At this particular moment. But you've got a couple of things after that in your book. So 12 out of 10 forgiveness, what are we talking about?
Well, it's not easy. It is not an easy journey or process. And we all know the Word of God. You know, the Word of the Lord's Prayer, who tells us to forgive those who trespass against us. We're all familiar with the Scripture. It says, if you don't forgive others, then how can Christ forgive you? And when you have been through trauma, these words are like a weight around your neck. You say, God, I want to forgive. But God, I desire to forgive, God. But man, I'm angry. I'm hurt. I'm sad. And the journey of forgiveness ends and begins in Jesus. It's not by might nor by power, but it's through the Spirit. So what it had to happen is I had to get a different perspective, because my perspective of my what happened to me was filled with anger, and people would say righteous anger, was filled with flesh. I wanted my revenge. I wanted my pound of flesh. I wanted my abuser to go to hell. That's what I wanted. But when God changed my perspective and said, don't look there, look to me. Look at me. Put the cross in front of the hurt. And as the cross became bigger, as God became bigger, as God's word became truer, as I fell in love with God more and more and died to self, it didn't take away everything, but it made everything, I was able to walk through it. It didn't, I'm not saying abuse is okay. I'm not saying I agree with it. I'm not saying that we shouldn't seek justice or whatever we need to do end the abuse. I hate abuse, but I could still forgive and say it's wrong. I could still forgive and say, hey, I got to call the cops. You know, I could still forgive, because forgiveness set me free. So what was forgiveness? It didn't mean I was going to have Sunday morning dinner with my abuser. It didn't mean we were going to sit down and sing Kumbaya together. It didn't mean now we were going to go tiptoeing through the, you know, tulips. It meant that, Lord, I gave my abuser to you, and I put my abuser in your hands. So, and I forgave him, because I don't want I don't want revenge, but God, I want you. I know you are a just and perfect God that will not be mocked. So God, I know you love people. So by setting my abuser free and putting them in the hands of God, for God to be the righteous and the loving and the compassionate judge, then no longer was my abuser still taking up space in my head and in my soul. So the abuse ended at 14, but the lies ended many, many, many years later. So forgiveness has set me free, because it made Jesus bigger than all the pain.
Amen. You know, Pastor Mark, this forgiveness factor is amazing, because there's so much freedom in forgiveness.
Amen.
You know,
we Amen.
Always, this is like so easily people say, well, you know, forgiveness is for, you know, you, it's not for the other person. And I say not because it's not true, but because I think that sometimes people hear things so much that they just repeat it, but they don't even know the power of that statement. Freedom is not for the person who's offended you, who's mistreated you, who's traumatized you. It's for you, because what you described is freedom. Plain and simple as that. Freedom, forgiveness, it's definitely synonymous. And knowing that God can do so much with you when you let it go. Like you said, you know, let me tell you something, Pastor Mark. I'm looking at people right now who have done things to me when I was young. And I say to myself sometimes, do you remember what you did? Not because I'm holding it against them, but because life has just gone on as though they didn't. And it doesn't mean that, like you said, that it was excused, that it was, you know, just forgotten about. But because God can move that powerfully, it can actually be just like that. You could actually look at a person or interact with someone who has been abusive to you, and God can do so much healing in you that the forgiveness does. It's so powerful. It's so powerful.
Amen.
You got to give God thanks for what he's given us in that forgiveness factor. All you have to do is position yourself to be forgiving, and you will find yourself where you've described, what I just got finished describing. That forgiveness can definitely just do so much repair in and of itself, and it washes away so much of your behavior moving forward after you've forgiven. Now, you're not as angry. Now, you know, it doesn't hold you up like in a vice. So it's an amazing description that you've given. Now, part three of your book, Breaking Out. So you've gotten to the last trail marker of forgiveness, and now you are breaking out. What are you talking about? What are you describing? What happened, Pastor Mark, at this breaking out point?
Sure. You know, I think it's best said to have a life and life more abundant. You know, a life more abundant is not about a Cadillac or a jet plane or $1 million. Boy, I wish I had all those things, but I don't. Life more abundant is be able to love God and love myself. Loving God helped me love myself, in turn helped me love my wife and my children and love my church and love other people and my neighbor. And it's helped me be honest with myself. And I think that these things that breaking out means that those chains, those shackles, if you would, of unforgiveness, the lies of my abuser that once was so loud, that echoed in everything I did, became so quiet, and now God's word echoes in all that I do. And the freedom I have is saying I don't hate myself. The freedom I have is that I don't despise myself. Oh, I'm sober about who I am. There's a lot that needs to be fixed. Believe me, sister, there's a lot that needs to be worked on every day. But I don't hate myself for it. And I could be a good friend, and I hopefully could be a good husband. I try to be a good father, and I want to be a good pastor. But, you know, the freedom of breaking out is that the junk that was with me so long, that familiar loathing and hatred that I would wake up to every day, was like a ringing in my ear. It was like a taste in my mouth. It was like a burn in my spirit. It left. And I said, you know, God, now I can just be me, the dumb old me I am. And God, there's times that I need a direction and correction, but Lord, I'm no longer tied to my abuser emotionally, spiritually, physically, because Lord, I've been set free by the gift of forgiveness. And you, by loving you and seeing you, and dying to you, and in you, and only in you, can I say I have forgiven those who trespass against me. So now I run, and I try to be the best me for Jesus Christ. I can be every day. Amen.
Amen. And amen. Victim to victorious.
Amen.
What does that mean?
Praise the Lord.
What does that
Praise
mean, Pastor
Lord.
Mark? What does that mean in that book? What does that mean? Victim to victorious. We're coming
victim
down.
To victorious.
I'm
Amen.
At the end
victim
of the book, and I'm hearing it.
Well, yeah, I'll go into that. Victim to victorious. What happened is that, you know, I kind of got a victim mentality. I had a chip on my shoulder. The world owed me something. And no one ever went what I went through, you know. Hey, get out of my way because you don't know what I went through, Jack. And I got this chip that said, listen, I didn't do this. Somebody did it to me. And I'm going to take what I want and I'm going to get what I can. And my became my excuse. Hey, don't ask me to do that. Why? Hey, I was abused. Were you? It became my reason. I don't want to do that. Why? Because I was abused. And this victim mentality that I carried for far too long was wrong, and it was bad, and it hurt me. And one day at the altar, I love myself some altar. You know, I love me altar. So one day at the altar, the Holy Spirit filled me. I was slain in the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit, the only time I've ever been slain in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit just consumed me with his presence, and he spoke to my heart, and he said, Mark, you're no longer a victim. And I said, Lord, and literally I remember saying, Lord, if I'm not a victim, then what am I? Because all I know how to live my life is a victim. From the time I was 7 years old, it's all I knew. And this happened in my early 20s. And the Lord spoke to my heart powerfully but gently. And the Lord spoke to my heart and said, Mark, you're no longer a victim, but today you're victorious. And I didn't know how to live in victory.
Amen.
I didn't know what victory looked like. I didn't know what it sounded like. I didn't know what it was. And I said, Lord, I've never been a champion. I've never won anything, Lord. I'm not a victim. I've never had victory. And he said, you have my victory. And then he reminded me of Jacob and how Jacob wrestled with the angel and how Jacob wrestled all night. And all he wanted was a name change because Jacob in those days meant deceiver, liar, cheat. And he said, Lord, I won't let you go until you change my name. And the angel spoke to him and said, now your name is Israel because you wrestled with God and wrestled with man and have overcome. And in the sense that the deceiver became an overcomer that day with a new name. And I believe that at the altar for me, I left that place as a bringing myself as a victim. I saw myself. I acted. I behaved. I spoke like I thought. I was a victim, and I left the altar that day. I was no longer a victim, but I was victorious in Jesus Christ. And there it began the journey of forgiving my nightmare.
Amen. 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 You know, it's funny because as you're talking, I'm thinking and I'm absorbing what you're saying, and I had a thought, and when I looked over, I saw going forward was the next chapter in your book. And my thought was, prior to seeing going forward, was how, you know, that declaration that I am no longer a victim, but I'm victorious, how did that help you become a husband? How did that help you become a father? How did that help you become a better individual going forward?
Well, it's because it's how we see ourselves. You know, a victim, the trauma that we grew up in gave us a perspective of ourself. You know, in a lot of ways, the trauma of my abuser said to me, Mark, you're junk, you're stupid, you're bad, you're fat, there's nothing valuable about you. So that's how I lived my life. That's how I saw myself. Those are the actions that I placed upon myself. That was the bar I held myself to. But as I went forward now with this fresh revelation of God's grace and mercy, of his love and the awareness of God's Spirit, I no longer live like that. Because now I've had my days. You know, I've had my days. I've had my time. The enemy's tried to come back and steal. The enemy lies. You know, I've had my moments where I've had to choose this day whom I will serve. But again, I put on this helmet. I put on the armor of Christ, and I say, Lord, I want to move forward. So by loving God, I can love my wife, and I'm not going to raise my children in the way with these insecurities and fears that I once carried so much. You know, I'm going to pass enough junk down to my kids. We all do. You know, I want to teach them to watch too much TV and eat too much snack food. And my wife always tells me, knock it off. But you know, but I'm not going to pass down an insecurity. I'm not going to pass down an inability. I'm going to not pass down the things that were given to me because of abuse. Now I hope to hand down a legacy of faith. I hope to hand down a legacy that says, hey, Dad didn't have much, but what he had, he gave to Jesus. Dad didn't do much, but what Dad did was for Jesus. And that's what I hope to hand to my kids, a legacy of faith saying, hey, guys, I broke because of Jesus Christ. I broke this cycle of dysfunction, not because of me, but because of Jesus. And I want you to take the freedom that I've learned. I want to give it to you so you can run and be the men and women of God that God's called you to. So I'm honored to say that my son, who's 18, will be going to Bible college as he graduates. He'll be heading to Bible college. And I was really honest with him. I said, hey, this is where God's calling. You go do it. I told him all the good, the bad, the good, great, and the sad of the pulpit. And he said, Dad, I still want to do it. So I said, you go, son, you go.
Amen. That's amazing. Amazing. And congratulations to you, Pastor Mark, and your son's movement into, you know, such a journey. It's so rewarding. So I'm excited for you. I'm excited for your family. Now, this has been a wonderful picturesque, a wonderful picture of what this book, Forgiving the Nightmare, is all about. Tell everyone how they can get the book.
Well, there's two ways you can get it. First of all, you can go to our website, forgivingthenightmare.com, forgivingthenightmare.com, or you can go to Amazon and you can order it off Amazon and they'll send it right to your house. So two ways, forgivingthenightmare.com, that's my personal website. You'll see my ugly mug there and you'll kind of read some stories about me. You'll see the cover of the book. Or you can go to Amazon and, hey, we can get anything off Amazon today. So you go to Amazon, type in Forgiving the Nightmare, and I'm sure my book will show up. So we'd be honored, and I'd love to hear from people. I'm on social media. You can come find me on Facebook and on Instagram and on X, so you can come and find me on those places. And I'd love to hear people's stories and be able to pray with them. And, of course, I'm always blessed to be able to go out and speak. So if there's any pastors or ministries today that would like to speak to me about coming out, I'd be honored to be able to do that, come and speak to other ministries about the goodness and grace and the journey of forgiving their nightmare.
Amen. Amen. What a blessing. I anticipated this was going to be a blessing, but definitely not as powerful as it was. You have been amazing, Pastor Mark, and I thank you so much. But before I let you go, please, just leave our listeners with one thing. What would you tell them?
You're not alone. You're not alone. The enemy wants to say to you that you're the only one that's ever walked through what you're walking through. You're the only one that's been abused. You're the only one that's been addicted. You're the only one that's gone through an untimely death in your family. You're the only one. And the enemy's lying to you, saying, if they find out, they'll mock you, they won't believe you, so you're suffering in silence. But there's countless people out there. There are countless people of all makes and models and all kinds of people that say, we've been where you're at, and we found hope, and we found trust, and we found grace, and we found forgiveness and healing at the cross of Jesus Christ. So don't believe the lie of the enemy, but know that you're not alone, and there's people out there that want to come beside you. Look it up. Pray through it. Talk to your pastors and churches and leaders, and let God heal you and deliver you on your journey. You're not alone.
Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Mark, for blessing our lives this morning, for doing what God has assigned you to do, and your obedience is definitely a blessing to each and every one of us. And you and I will definitely talk, because we gotta get together one way or another. We've gotta get
Amen.
Together.
Amen. Amen, Pastor Stephanie. Thank
done.
You so much. Thank you so much for having
Amen.
Me.
Have
all my love.
You're welcome.
All my love to New York.
Thank
I used
you.
To live on Staten Island, so go New York. God bless.
All right. Thank you so much, Pastor Mark. You have a blessed day, and God spares. We will talk soon.
God bless you. Thank you again. Bye now.
Thank you. Okay. Oh, my goodness gracious. How powerful. I had no idea that it was going to be this great until I read, like I said to you earlier, I read this book, the beginning. All I read was the introduction and the very beginning, you know, when it, like, Amazon allows you to get a taste of what the book is about. And I talked to Pastor Mark, we spoke about a couple of weeks ago, and you know, it wasn't until last night that I actually was able to really sit down. I always like to do it fresh before I get with our guests. And I could not put it down. That little piece, I couldn't put it down. I promise you, go and get the book. I'm telling you, this is going to be such a major blessing in your life. And you can tell just from his testimony, his openness. And the best part about the guests that come on here, they're no longer guests once they start. They're like our family members. And they just jump right in, and like you do times two, they're so candid, they're so open, they're so transparent. But yet, this was such a blessing because it was like a double treat. You were able to speak to someone who understands trauma. You were able to hear from someone who understood what it was to go through hell. I mean, there's no other way to put this thing. Based on, you know, what the little piece I read was hell. But to be able to talk now and to be able to experience the love of God so powerfully that you can attest to forgiveness. Not only can you experience and attest to it, but now you can encourage others. You know, a lot of people go through trauma, and you can tell they've been through some trauma. You can really tell. And that's not a critical statement, but it's just readable. It's something, like, as soon as they start talking, you know, it's like, oh, okay, I could tell they've been through something. And I have to tell you, listening to Pastor Mark, it was so soothing. It was so soothing. And Pastor Mark is a person that you can say you can't tell what he's been through, at least for my small interaction with him. You know, what a blessing, what a blessing, what a blessing he has been to us this morning, and definitely giving God thanks. And again, you know, I'm reaching out to these individuals. I don't know them. They don't know this Pastor Steph. And, you know, based on a little bit that I say to them in the direct messaging on Facebook, they respond. And when, you know, I have people who say to me, oh, you know, can you speak to my manager, or can you speak to my booking agent? And from that point, I don't communicate with them anymore, because what they don't understand is, as I tell everybody, this is not an interview, it's a conversation. I've got to be able to connect with you. And
I need to be able to connect with you from the beginning. I don't have time. We've only got an hour. I don't have time to work my way up to this thing. I need to be able to nail this relationship. I need to nail this partnership. I need to nail this connection. And if I have to speak to your manager or your booking agent, I respect it. This is what works. This is the process that you've put in place to help you move and migrate into this world. But this is what happens, what you just heard between Pastor Mark and myself, what you hear on a regular basis. Only God can really do this kind of work. So I give God thanks. But please go get the book, Forgiving the Nightmare. You will not be disappointed. From the introduction, you will not be disappointed. Amen. All right. So what a wonderful segue into Pray for Them this morning. We have our Shantice. And good morning, Shantice. I want to talk to you a quick second. I don't know how much time we got to talk, but I want to talk to you a quick second. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning.
What did you think of Pastor Mark?
I wasn't expecting all of that this morning. When I saw the title of his book, you know, once I saw forgiveness, I was like, all right, God, I get it, because he's been on me. Forgiveness has been one of the things he's been drilling in my head the past few days, literally. So once I saw forgiving, it could have been anything, forgiving the wrong bag of chips, forgiving, whatever. Just that forgiveness word was just like, all right, I get it. And to hear, you know, his story, and it really had me sitting here and had me thinking like, wow, God, you're helping me to put certain things in perspective. Like, you're helping me to see that I'm still mad at you for what someone else did to me. And ultimately, you're telling me I'm wrong. I'm mad at the wrong person. So it's, I'm mad at you because I'm mad at them, but I'm not even supposed to be mad at them. It's just that his breakdown of his story and why he wrote his book, how he wrote his book, it really, really helped me. I wasn't expecting all of that. I knew it was going to be good because God allowed him to be on the show, but I didn't know it was going to be, like, hitting me personally like that. So it was, that's really crazy, a good crazy start to my day.
You know, as I listen to you speak, we're going to shift gears here a little bit. We're not going to do the Pray for Them because I'm going to converse with you a little bit. You know, when I listen to you speak and you say, you know what, I'm angry with God. At the same time, I'm angry with the person. That's a lot. That's a lot. That's a lot to absorb, even for you, who mm-hmm. is coming through the journey of learning more and more about God. God is using you more and more and more. Why do you think God is on you so much about this forgiveness?
Because it's really making me stagnant and go backwards, where God already has me on an expedited level to go forward. And the person that I'm having a really hard time forgiving, like, there's so many different things attached to it. You know, a lot of times we think, like, when it's a person or a thing, it's isolated to this one particular thing. But, you know, just really, at the same time, it's like, God, I'm telling you, I'm saying, oh, God, this man talking, this pastor talking is helping me understand that I'm still mad at you. But how can I be mad at you but thanking you at the same time? Because even when I was on a video call with this person a couple of weeks ago, I was feeling like something, I couldn't really put my finger on it, but I was feeling something there. And even though it felt a little uncomfortable, I was just like, thank you, God, that there's some type of awareness. But it's, God is like, I need you to forgive because it's hindering our relationship, my relationship with God, is hindering how I'm able to use you. It's hindering everything you're telling me you want to do in life is what I actually have for you, but I can't necessarily give you everything because you're still holding on to stuff that's still keeping you a certain way. Like, even though I've come a long way, I still got a long way to go, and this is a big reason why I still have a long way to go, because it's not just this one isolated thing. It's attached to still so many other things. And God is like, I need you to get rid of that in order for you to progress and I can really use you the way I need and want to use you.
Wow. Pastor Mark has a chapter that we didn't go over, but I want to talk to you about. And he's at trail marker 9. And this is sandwiched between confidence, trail marker 8, and trail marker 10, forgiveness. And it's submission. Submission. What does that mean for you now that you realize God is picking with you, picking, and constantly nudging you to forgive and directing you to forgive and urging you to forgive and has the desire for you to forgive? What does submission mean in this situation for you, this unforgiveness?
It means shutting up and pushing through and, you know, not shutting up like God is disregarding how I feel. I've given you the ability to, and I'm right here with you. And, you know, when you don't focus on God, because that's something else that he revealed to me recently, is your focus has been taken off. You've taken your focus off of me. So now you don't feel like I'm here with you the way I am here with you. But I need you to surrender that. I need you to just say, okay, God. Not okay, God, I agree. Not okay, God, I understand. But just okay. And just letting go, not trying to keep up any defense mechanisms, not trying to do, just say okay and let me show you why I'm telling you to just say okay. So it's like I'm telling you to forgive, and you're trying to wrap your head around how and why you should forgive, and you're putting too much pressure on yourself because I can't fathom this, and he respects that. But I just need you to just say okay, and okay will show your faith in me, your trust in me. And it keeps making me think about that video I showed you, Pastor Steph, of the man with his son on the runway, on the model runway.
Mm-hmm.
And he's walking with his son, and
right.
His son is crying, bawling, and the caption was showing, like, okay, this is God, and this is you walking with God and trusting him. It's like, you don't know where God is about to take you. It looks scary, but you're still walking with him because you know, like, this is my father. You know, like, this is my father. He ain't about to take me somewhere where he going to kill me. But I still don't know where I'm going, and it still looks scary, but I just got to shut up and go. So, yeah, I'm scared, but I still trust you enough to just, in a sense, like, not blindly walking because God doesn't want any robots, but just that's what the faith is. That's what the submission is, to just come to me and let me guide. Stop trying to guide. You're still trying to guide yourself, and I don't have the ability to do that. And submission says, I don't know what I'm doing, but I know you know what you're doing, so let me just follow you.
Amen, amen, and amen. We'll stop right there because we're going to lift everyone up right now. That's going to be our prayer for them today. Everyone who has an issue with forgiveness and forgiving something or someone, and we're just going to go before the Lord right now. Thank you so much for just chatting with me and being open and candid and transparent with us this morning, because I'm sure someone is listening who heard both Pastor Mark and you, and they're like, well, you know what? It's about that time that I make that move. So thank you so much.
Thank
Have
you.
Have a blessed day, Shanti.
You too.
Thank you. Thank you. Let's go before the Lord, holding hands and holding hearts. Oh, dear Heavenly Father God, we thank you for being such an awesome God. We thank you for being you at all times. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father, because you knew we would need this today. Your timing is always on point. There's something brewing, and we need to resolve it. But we haven't allowed you in. And today, dear Heavenly Father, this morning we thank you because this is the first part of the day. You didn't even let us get through the day, even halfway through the day, where we were just fluttering around and moving all around with all kinds of feelings and thoughts and being puzzled as to how to get this done. So we say thank you. We thank you for our Pastor Mark. Thank you, God, that he was willing. Thank you, God, that he was ready. Thank you, God, that he was able to tell his story, that his story would liberate so many, that his ability to be candid, transparent, honest, open, and not peg himself as being perfect. We don't have it together. Even at our greatest point, we don't have it together. And that's what he showed. He showed such a level of humility, God. And we thank you for his life. We thank you for him being willing to share his experience so that others might be set free. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for the conversation with Shantice this morning. Someone who's being challenged, woo, being challenged to get this together because I got somewhere to take you. But I can't right now because in order for me to take you there, you're carrying some weight that cannot enter into that zone. You're carrying some unforgiveness that can't go where I want to take you. So we thank you, God, because how many others are listening to this broadcast right now or who will hear this broadcast right now who's standing right there? They're on the brink of a blessing, but they cannot make it in. But God, we also want to thank you because you helped shed light this morning that our salvation could possibly be hindered, that we may not even make it into the kingdom because we can't leave it behind us, that there is nothing that you can't do in our life. There is nothing too great that you can't work on. And we thank you, Father. We thank you for shedding light. We thank you for helping us to understand that you're that great, big, wonderful God. Thank you, God. You spoke loud and clear this morning. And we know that it's possible. We know that it's doable. We know we can get it done. Just because Pastor Mark reminded us that it can be done. We thank you for your son who set the first example and helped us to see that even while someone is traumatizing us, even while someone is hurting us, even while someone is demonstrating hatred toward us, that we can ask for forgiveness for them. While he was on the cross, he asked, Father, please forgive them, so they know not what they do. He set the greatest example. Thank you, God. You never let go. And this is indication that you don't let go. This is indication that you love us so much that you don't want any of us to perish. This is indication that you will never leave us nor forsake us. Thank you. Thank you. How can we say thank you? By living our life in you, by living for you, by submitting. And we are just so grateful this morning to you, because you're just that kind of God who keeps your word. We give you the glory and the honor, so rightly do your name, God. We ask you to bless Pastor Mark, his ministry, his life, his family, anywhere he stands. The Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless his territory. We ask you, God, to expand his territory as he is actually extending himself to anyone who wants to have him in the room. Thank you. So, God, we ask that you just move him safely from place to place as he goes. We ask you, dear Heavenly Father, to bless his son as he's about to step into this genre of life, that he would be blessed, that he watches the example his father is setting, that he watches and he listens. And no, none of us are perfect, but what a wonderful example to have before him. Thank you, Father. Thank you for his little life. 18 years old, and he's already made the decision that he wants you. Thank you. And we pray for every young individual, the Heavenly Father, that they would want to know you better. Just that they would want to know you better. Just that they would want to know you better. Just have that desire. We give you the glory and the honor, so rightly be your name. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Oh, what a mighty God we serve, who never lets us down. There's not much more I can say this morning that would just encourage you to submit. Submit and find your way there. You know, I always term it position yourself. Just be there. Just throw your hands up and say, you know what, God, just take it. Just take it. Take me. Just take it all. And, you know, some people say, you know, Pastor Steph, that's not so easy. Pastor Mark, that's not so easy. Oh, yeah, it is. Because we find our way to do everything we want to do. We get into these intimate relationships and we give all of ourselves. We put all of our stuff out there. We don't mind being vulnerable. We don't mind, you know, telling somebody I'm all yours. Well, right now, tell Jesus, I'm all yours. I belong to you. You own it all, including me. Submit yourself to the Lord, and you will not go wrong. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m., where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit as you go through your day. Be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank our Pastor Mark Sowersby for blessing our life this morning and helping us to understand how we too can live forgiving through the nightmare. Oh, and forgiving that nightmare. Thank you for hanging out with us today. Please do not miss this opportunity to give Jesus your life right now. Please do not miss this opportunity to allow that relationship to be strengthened today, right now, because later is not promised to any of us. Until tomorrow, God says, where it's Freestyle Friday. Until then, I love you.